Welcome, everyone, to Chicken, Sex, and Degrees, where we talk about life's lessons, its pleasures, and its achievements. I am Makita. And Monica, you are not heard because you know why? Your mic is not on, my friend.
Oh, God damn it. I'm over here just talking away. Yeah. Anyway, hi to my person I just got to see like a couple days ago. How did you feel seeing me? Did you realize how much you missed me?
Oh my gosh, I missed you so much. It was so great like you did. To see
it was so yes. great seeing you and your belly. And yeah, it was fantastic. It was just like, you know, my favorite girl in the world. And I just want to go on the record and just say two things. For one, I won the contest of who knows Makita best. So y'all stop playing with me. Then Makita don't know Makita because she be freestyling on the goddamn answers. Talking about her favorite dessert is vegan ice cream. Like, girl, go to hell. You know, vegan ice cream, Makita.
That's what I eat all the damn time.
Makita's favorite dessert is rice pudding.
No, guys. It is not.
Yes, it is. She made it for me years ago. And it was delicious.
I made it for you because that's something that my mom used to make as a comfort food to us. It was never and has never been and will never be my favorite dessert. I don't even consider that. I used to actually be upset when my mom used to act like that was the dessert. Like, it was just a comfort food. Like, and it was cheap.
Delicious.
It's rice. It was delicious. It's raisins. And it's milk and sugar. Like, that's a cheap ass meal for a mom to put together.
It was a hit, you guys. So I feel like we bonded off of that moment. So I'm very confused. And when she said vegan ice cream, like, girl, who are you?
I was very confused that you decided to put that. Like, no, that is not. Like, cool story, cool memory, but no.
They like, where did the parents meet at? The post office. Like, girl, what?
Why would they be talking about my parents?
I don't know. Like, I literally thought they was talking about where your parents met at. I don't know. When they said mommy and daddy, I just thought they meant your parents. That they actually meant mommy and daddy or the goddamn baby. So I'm a little slow, but that's how we start our day off. We got to see each other, guys. Yay! Because this long-distance relationship is hard.
My baby shower in Baltimore with my family and friends there, and it was great. Thank you.
Yeah. That's all I had to say.
That's all.
Other than that, you look great. So I'm so happy to see you on Zoom.
Yeah.
You look blessed and highly favored. Yes.
As do you.
Anyway, ask me about my day yesterday.
How was your day yesterday?
It was fucking terrible. Let me tell y'all, I worked as an election poll worker and this shit was ghetto. Like,
can there be another name for that besides poll worker? Because when I hear poll worker, I just be thinking Magic City.
Like a stripper. Yeah. I don't think there is an election judge. I don't know.
Okay. Yes. That's it.
Election
that's
judge. The one. Anyway, I worked at it during the voting and it was just ghetto. It was just so ghetto. And I just was like, ugh, you people get on my fucking nerves.
Why?
Like,
the people don't listen?
I think you know what? It wasn't even the voters. It was more so like the staff. I feel like it was a bunch of people who, it was like everybody knew more than the next person. You know what I mean? So when you got all these people who want to be in charge, it's like people don't really just operate like a team. So we had a good day, you know, but I did have to cuss one of the guys out and I don't think I'm going to be invited back.
Probably not.
So I'm just like, have to. They were talking about they was going to write me up. They said I had to cuss him out because at the end of the night, he was trying to play. He wanted us to break down some little box and it was like, we couldn't break it down. So he just went crazy. And he was like, ain't nobody leaving this bitch till I fucking say so. And I said, well, hold up, baby. Hold your little ass up. I said, sir, I will roll your little ass up. He was only 5 feet. I was like, listen, baby. You know when you go get them ice cream and they be like, make it in the front of you and then they roll it up and put it in the cup. Y'all ever had that thing? You hadn't? Okay, whatever. Yeah. I was like, little nigga, I will roll you up. Like, so I had to cuss him out and they was just like, he gonna give me a bad review. I was like, I don't care. That's how
you could have just ignored him and just left when you wanted to leave, but you know.
So you can't leave when you want to leave. You gotta there's like a whole process you gotta have to like break down. The police gotta come. And I know I could have ignored him, but sometimes the spirit be spiriting.
And that was not the spirit. That was not the spirit.
That was the spirit. And when it comes out, it comes out. Like, don't talk to me like that. I don't know you, sir. Don't say. He was just like, ain't none of y'all getting fucking paid. I run this shit.
He really cursed. See, and that's when, that's why you have to ignore people like that, because that's when you write a letter. Like, I felt unsafe. See, the Karens be right about something.
Listen,
you write your letter. I felt unsafe. I felt attacked, harassed. He used foul language. No.
Mm-mm. See, and I didn't bother him. He was outside smoking his little weed when people was voting and stuff. I ain't bother him, but I did. I was just kind of like, sir, he was smoking weed. Like, this is, I was like, this is Baltimore.
You had a good case.
I said, this is ghetto.
You had a
good case. Was just ghetto from beginning to end. It just was ghetto, y'all. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be back next year, though, because I like it. I like it.
You got problems.
I'm going to be back next year, though. And I was like, you know what? I like it. And then next year when I go back, I'm gonna bring everybody lunch too, because there was only like 10 of us in there. So I was like, I'm gonna get everybody lunch, because you know I like this little razzle dazzle, you know. But yeah, he was cussing me out, girl. I said, child, you picked the right one today, because I'm about to let you let it go. So anyway, that was just my day. I just want to share that with y'all. But you do get paid $200. So if anybody wants to be a poll worker, election judge, you know, go to your board of elections and sign up. $200. That's a win. No, I mean, it's like 16 hour days.
Not for the amount of time and the drama that you just described. I think I'm good.
Yes, I was there. I was there from 5 a.m. to 8:30, y'all. For $200. That's not a lot. I want to write a letter about that.
You like, signed up for it. You agreed to the terms.
I was just trying to do my civic duty. That's
your civic duty is voting. Or, but we appreciate it. We appreciate you.
Yes, you know. So you guys are welcome for all my hard work, you know. And y'all need to stop playing with Stacey Abrams.
I don't even want to talk about it. I did my
part. Stop playing with her. Anyway.
I did my part. We actually.
That's that. How you been?
You know. I've been good. That last thing you just brought up was a damper in my day. You know, expectations, yeah, right. Reality, it is what it is.
White women.
Georgia was not going to elect a Black woman for governor. Like, be clear. Like, it is not ready for that. It would have been amazing.
We don't know that.
Have you seen like how they show like what's red and what's blue in Georgia? There was not.
I feel like a lot of times people be forgetting that like Georgia is more than Atlanta. You know what I mean? Because Atlanta's blue, I believe, barely.
Yeah, but
like
Georgia's a big,
small
as
margin.
Hell, and Atlanta's about that big.
And apparently, it was the white woman. It was the white woman who came out, and they said they voted that she had more voted against her this time than she did the last time. I said, y'all don't deserve her. She made somebody mad. She said she's gonna keep fighting though. I'm like, y'all
we need her. She is very much so needed here. So I appreciate her for still sticking it out. Because you know another thing. It makes me mad that we even have to have a runoff with a Senate race. It's too damn close for my liking.
Oh, with Herschel and
Warnock. Raphael Warnock. Yes, like why was it even that close? Are we being serious?
Yeah, Herschel needs to go take care of his kids because
he
needs
to go get checked out. I'm convinced he has CTE, but that's another story.
Anyway, all right, we're going all over the place because this week was just a week, y'all. It was just a lot.
Oh, it's always a lot, but it's okay. We are shaking it up today, you know,
a little spicy, a little razzle dazzle,
taking it back. It's a throwback. I'm gonna have to go into the depths of my memory to recall some of these things, and my parents definitely
the memory banks.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm not going back to no memory banks, why not?
You know what, but it's a story there. And I'll wait for you to tell the story today because you're going to tell it. But we have a guest today. We have Chanel Jolly here with us from Jolly Co. She's a sexologist. Hey, Chanel Jolly, how you doing?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming on. So we brought you on because we want to have a conversation about sex.
We want to talk that talk.
Talk that talk.
We want to talk that talk. You got to introduce yourself. You got to talk that talk. We about to turn the lights down low.
Oh, man. Thank you. Y'all are so funny. Thank you for having me. I'm Chanel Jolly Marshall. I am a sexologist, and I have been for about 16 years now. I'm from Atlanta, but I live in D.C. now. And I, I do HIV work for a hospital system here, doing like community testing, in-clinic testing, as well as both clinician-facing and community-facing education. A lot of my life is education. That's what I mainly do, like on TikTok, online. It's usually me talking about something, teaching about something. Additionally, I am a student, a PhD student in human sexuality right now. And that's probably why I am so tired.
Girl.
Trying to catch up on schoolwork that I'm behind on. But anyway, so that's what I do in a nutshell. My focus is on Black sexuality, specifically Black women and femmes, and how we learn about sex and our attitudes and behaviors towards sex from a historical standpoint, social, cultural standpoint, all of that. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
That's really cool. And I love that. And I really, when I was researching you and got into your background, I was really like blown by it. And I thought it would be a perfect fit, because something that Monica talks about often on this platform is how parents teach their children about sex, or don't teach their children about sex, I should say. And I remember there was an episode we had my father on here, and I feel like she asked my dad what he taught us about sex. I don't remember what he said. I don't think it was a good answer.
probably not.
Because I mean, in reality, I don't remember my parents teaching me much about sex. I don't think I really learned about sex until I had it, and even when I had it, I was still like confused. Like, I didn't understand, like, that was supposed to go there, and there were all these different holes that I had down there. It was all confusing. I don't think I really understood what sex was, and probably till like 5 years into me actually having sex, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense, and that you are not alone in that at all.
I don't really think I thought much about sex, but it was like everybody in my high school was doing it. So I just was kind of like, oh, what's this about? Like, I don't know. You know how most people be like pressured and be like, I'm not pressured, but I don't know. I feel like I just voluntarily was just like, I want to see what this is about. And then I was just like, this is it. This is stupid. Like, this is so dumb. And then I feel like I didn't really even understand what it was until I was like 21, 22, and then I was like, this is what sex is. Like, well, ain't that fucking something? But I do always talk about like how parents just, I don't know, like I don't know why sex is always such a taboo subject in Black parent, like in Black households. I feel like growing up, my mom used to always just kind of be like, if you get pregnant, don't come home. And it's just like, you know, there's so many ways that we could have a conversation about this besides you just saying don't get pregnant or don't come home. Like, and it's, I don't know why it's such an uncomfortable conversation when it's just, it's natural and it's going to happen. Like, everybody,
it's literally how you got here.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's like people who have these kids and they think like, no, your daughter is going to be sucking dick and it's completely fine.
Wait a minute. I don't like
it. It's okay. I mean, no, it's like, it's okay. But people just really act like it's so, just such a scary topic. Like, what is your education or just your own personal view on why it's such a scary topic for Black parents?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked, because that is literally what I study. So if we're talking about, and I won't get super nerdy, but I will try to like...
Get in your bag. Okay.
but because I look at this from a historical perspective, it's called like the trickle-down effect, right? And so you don't know
Because mama told you what she knows, but it's because grandma didn't know. It's because great grandma didn't know. It's that kind of thing. And if you go all the way back, a lot of first sexual experiences were rooted in trauma, especially if you're talking about those of us who have an ancestry of enslavement, right? A lot of first time sexual experiences were traumatic. And so if that is what your foundation is, that is what you know, unless you know otherwise, unless you have had the chance to have other experiences. But you're talking about a point in time where are you going to get these extra experiences from? Mm-hmm. Even if you did find love and you did bond with somebody else, you know, where you were, a lot of that was regulated. And a lot of that was, you know, torn apart. You could have a full family and your family be completely dismantled. You know what I mean? So if that's your foundation, even us right now in 2022 are feeling those effects right now. You know what I mean? And so it's hard to wrap your head around, but a lot of times that's where it comes from. So if that is the foundation by which, you know, we're equating Blackness and sexuality and sex and relationships and bodies and all that stuff, then that's being passed down. And at no point, and then don't throw religion in there.
Right? Girl, I was about to say that was.
Listen, right? I'm just talking about the actual act and the actual, like, your neighborhood and the people around you. You throw religion in there and now I'm veering left. And now it's a whole another thing on top of the other thing, right? So a lot, it's very, very layered. And so there is absolutely a reason why, because also think about it, we were not allowed, and I have this in quotation, allowed to live freely, to be our most expressive selves, like our ancestors did prior to enslavement. So you have to consider all of these things. So you have suppression and all of these things that still, and all that stuff passes down. So that's why, essentially, unless somebody took it upon themselves to change that narrative, then we're just going to be like, well, I'm just going to teach my kids what I was taught. And it's usually like a couple of things. And it's usually don't bring home no babies. It's, you know, them boys only want one thing. Oh, you know, them girl, like, you know, it's all these little cliches that you're nodding your heads because we've all heard this thing.
Yeah, that's so true.
We come from three separate families. From you know what I mean? Like, so there is a thread there. Now, in my research, have I found like little anomalies? Absolutely. My own like knowledge of how I learned about sex and stuff and whatnot is an anomaly. And that kind of sparked my research because I'm like, well, I have a completely different experience than literally everybody else that I'm talking to. So let me figure this out. So yeah, a lot of it is ancestral and historical, and a lot of it is us having to kind of do it for ourselves, unfortunately, and the people who come behind us.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head when you said a lot of people's first introduction to the whole idea of sex is trauma. Like that's big. That's mm-hmm. big. Right? It's so big.
I'm talking about men, women. Yeah. I don't care how you identify. It's, you know, whether it happened to you or not, a lot of times, you know, we know about things happening in the family. You hear rumors and whispers. That mm-hmm. is how you view sex and sexuality too. We don't think about how all of these things affect how we view it overall, right? And our approach to it. So yeah, it's very layered. So I try not to, when people are like, my mama didn't teach me nothing. I'm like, oh, you know, hold off on mama. Cause if, you know, hold off. Cause grandma might not have known what to tell mama. And then mommy, mm-hmm. that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So that is what we call the trickle down effect. And that's where, you know, why we are the way we are now in different aspects, not even just sex and sexuality, but it applies across the board. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fact. And one thing that I think is interesting, me and Monica have in common, both of our moms were teenage mothers.
Okay.
So I'm sure that influenced the don't bring home a baby on Monica's part. And I also heard similar. Mine was also rooted in save yourself a marriage, very religion and religious based in my household. So it just wasn't like a thing like nothing to talk about because you're not married, right?
Right. And there's no other conversations about how to relate to one another without sex being involved. So if you want your kids to not
that's good. Sex,
that's fine. But like, we still need to be having conversations about bodies, about feelings that you're feeling, about, you know, the things that you're seeing, about, you know, your body changing, about all of these things. We're not having those conversations. It's fine to have that viewpoint, go off. But if we're not having those other foundational conversations or those supplemental conversations, then it's just going to be a free for all. And these people, these young people have access to internet and they don't even have to spell something correctly to stumble upon. It's going to take you wherever you're trying to go. You don't even have to spell it right. Yeah. So I'm like, if there is no supplement behind that, then you're basing it off of porn, or you're basing it off of social media, or you're basing it off of celebrity culture, which all of it is just a facade and it's just entertainment. So what are you supposed to do with that? You know?
Get lost. I've always been an advocate of basically, I feel like kids, like sexual education, I feel like could do kids great. I read this article once where it talked about an alternative and saying like parents should be more okay with their children having sex in their home. And it was like just interviewing different parents who was just kind of like, oh, hell no, you know, blah, blah, blah. When I read it and I kind of thought about it, I was like, I actually think that's a dope concept, right? Like, I'd rather my child, now I ain't going to say, we ain't going to be set dick appointments. You ain't going to be like, oh, JJ coming over at 5 o'clock. You know, nah, we not doing that. But I'd rather you have sex in a place where it's safe and you have access to resources or condoms or whatever it is, than for you to be, you know, fucking on the bleachers. And I don't know what kids do nowadays. I don't know if they still be fucking on the bleachers or underneath the bleachers. I don't know. Because high school is different now with social media. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I just feel like I'd much rather you do it in a controlled environment than to just be somewhere and it's random and it's spur of the moment and y'all like, oh, we're in the car and we're just going to do this. Because I feel like that's how, you know, pregnancies happen, or that's how, you know, STDs get passed around. And it's like, children need to be educated on sex, on, you know, birth control, just a lot of different options. And I feel like that education is going to stop them from making certain actions. You know, I don't want to say everything is like a mistake. Like my mom, like Makita said, my mom is very, she's very against teen pregnancy. Like, very, very. And I think I have a different stance because I kind of feel like even though you have a kid as a teen, I don't think your life is over. I think with the right support system, with all, you know, whatever, like, I feel like you can be just fine or better off than most adults, you know, like based on, you know, your environment. But my mom was just one of the people who was like, hell no, your life is over. Your life is ruined. And it's just kind of like, well, then start educating these kids. Hell, you ain't educate me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't got no kids, but hell, you ain't educate me. I was out here motherfucking freestyling. Like, you should have helped me out, basically. So I don't know. I'm just a big proponent of like educating these kids and providing the space for them to I don't want to say like explore, but
that's it though, because for me, like, you can tell me something all day, but I actually need to I need to put my hand in the fire. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. So I think there is like a bit of an exploration piece that needs to happen. I don't know where I stand as far as like sex in the house yet. Chanel Jolly, I'm expecting. So I have a baby on the way and I'm just thinking like, what up? We got to talk about that. I don't know how I feel about that, but I understand the concept of like, yeah, providing a safe environment for your child to like engage in sexual behavior.
Yeah. And I think what adults and parents need to realize is that children are going to be curious, and it is perfectly natural, especially for like, I call them small people, like, you know, like 3 and around there. They are learning so much so quickly. And so all they know is this feels good. That's it. They're not equating it to sex. We need to stop putting adult concepts onto children. Mm-hmm. They know what you can do with that. If you happen to catch them touching themselves or in a way that you know, you think that's inappropriate or whatever, you let them know, okay, We do this for private time. You know, you can break it down to them. We do this at home. We do this in the room for private time. And then, you know, you can explain things like that. And so I think people freak out when they hear sex education for kids because they're thinking about their adult selves. Ain't nobody, listen, I'm a sex educator. I have been, at no point have I ever told you to be like, all right, y'all, this is how you bust up wide open, okay?
Oh, I know, that's right. Pussy pop on
are you kidding? Like, no. You know, like, woo. No, at no point have I ever. That right. is just not how it goes. But then also, you cannot expect abstinence only either.
Yeah.
You can include that as a part of sex education. I'm absolutely for that. But that as the only way, absolutely not. And so what I think we're missing is that you can have age-appropriate comprehensive sex education at every age range or every level of life. You can do that as young as arm babies, you know, just in it comes from like you talking positively about your own body, talking, you know, all of this is sex education. We think it's one very narrow thing, but it's also, you know, affirming different kinds of bodies and just noting that, you know, not talking about food and weight, that's also included in there. Like, it's a lot of different things. You teach your kids the proper name for body parts, you know? It's not a pocketbook.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And that is so true. I'm,
you know what I mean?
Like,
that's sex education too.
I hate when, because I feel like you have to teach your kids like the right name, because when something happens and they can't, they need to go to an adult or something and they can't identify, and they over here saying like, you know, my cookie, whatever. And they like, what? Like, your cookie hurt? Like, what? Like, no, it's a penis and a vagina. And you need to teach your kids. That's what it's called. That's
exactly.
It.
And so that's a sex education. Consent. You can teach the concept of consent very, very young. And you don't have to apply it to sex in general. It can be, you know, you can choose if you want somebody to hug you or not.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. That right there. Because growing up, it's always like, give your auntie a kiss. Why you ain't hug such and such? And I didn't even think about it until I got older. And I'm like, mm-mm. Like, if somebody's child don't hug me, it's fine. They don't have
exactly.
to. Like,
I never force anybody. They be like, go hug Auntie Dali. And I'm like, it's okay if they don't want to, you know, and I make sure I say it in front of the kid too, so they know that they have a choice with me. You know what I mean? So it's even small things like that, giving them choices over their body. You know, I know how we think in the Black community, you don't own the children. Like, you know,
parents do. Like, I got a tattoo before I was 18. That's my body. No, it's not.
No, it's not. You know, it's just not. So you can empower kids and youth to speak up for themselves and just to at least know what's going on with their bodies. Even, you know, just know what's going on. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I'm like, we could be doing this. So that way, when they do hit puberty and become teenagers, you don't have to start from scratch at 16. Because, baby, you already too late. You know?
Hello.
Hello. Real late.
Because I joined middle school, like, hearing about fellatio. I was like, what is fellatio, y'all? Like, what is cunnilingus? Like, I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
You're late at 12. You're late at, you know what I mean? So you really do have to start. And then also, I think another part is adults being okay with being uncomfortable with these mm-hmm. topics. You mm-hmm. have to be, you're just going to have to get over it. Because either they're going to learn from you, or they're going to get on that Google mm-hmm. or on that Instagram or whatever little TikTok, whatever little app is out.
Yeah.
And learn that way. And how mm-hmm. do you know? How can you verify that information? How can you know? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, because anybody can write anything on the internet and they can get up there and say, listen, anything.
You can say
for anything.
Yes.
And you know, with TikTok, like, it could be really fucking some people up, because, you know, them little experiments they could do. So just what if somebody was like, oh, try this the next time you have sex. Microwave your condom. Like, some wild shit. You know what I mean? Like, kids would try that. So it was like, as parents, like, you got to cut that off and really, like, you have to teach them so that they know, like, listen, because it's out here. It's out here.
And I tell parents, like, even if you are uncomfortable, send them to somebody who's reputable, you know. Mm-hmm. Some colleagues of mine focus on you specifically. And I'm like, I will happily refer you if you want somebody to, you know, sit down with you and your kids or whatever it is. But you just have to get the right education out there, because it's wild out here.
And on your end, how do you see that impacting adults? Like, when they don't necessarily get the right education at a certain age and they've already, you know, entered the sexual space and been having sex for only God knows how long, but now they're adults and they're like, I don't even know what I'm doing, or I don't understand what I'm doing. Like, what types of things, how does that manifest, I guess? And what types of things are you seeing?
Sure. We think, you know, kids just be doing anything. Adults be doing anything. Believe me, we just be doing anything. But the thing is, like, you have to be willing to learn. You have to be a lifelong learner when it comes to this. Because the thing is, you may feel like you know about sex, but then you get older. You're not going to be 21. You're only 21 for a year. Mm-hmm. 21 and 30 are two different bodies. 30 and 50 are two different bodies. What you did at 50 and 21 are two completely different things. So you have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to, you know, I know we've grown and we think we know everything, but you have to be willing to learn and open yourself up to, you know, new experiences that are actually learning what's going on. And so it manifests itself in confusion. It manifests itself into miscommunication between people. It, you know, manifests itself between, you know, like, oh, I already know what I'm doing, you know, or even something like this move, these two moves worked on this last person, so these my moves. Baby, that's a different person.
Yeah, all mm-hmm. vaginas are not the mm-hmm. same, all penises are not the same.
Like, and the thing about it is, though, is like, adults honestly don't really like to learn. I feel like as we get older, we get set in our ways, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, well, this is what it is, and this is what's been tried and true. And it's just like, nah, but it's not.
Yeah, it's
like,
tried.
It's not.
It's tried, right? But
you tried it, but yeah, I completely agree. And so, like, a lot of what I do and what my colleagues do is helping people unlearn. A lot of my job is helping people unlearn and relearn again. A lot of it is. And so, you know, it's a big challenge because, like you said, a lot of us are set in our ways and we think we like what we like, and we don't even give space a lot of times to learn anything else about our bodies. Because, I mean, I'm 38 now, and my 38-year-old self now is completely different from 22. I think I started having sex at like 21 or something like that. Because I'm a person who will learn from other people's mistakes and other people's actions. And I'm the friend that everybody talked to. So I'm like, ooh, not doing that, not doing that.
See, you're the smart one.
So I just have a different approach and different, you know, I guess, story when it comes to that or whatever. But yeah, like, It can be quite difficult to talk.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask. I was like, because I feel like just from the educator part of it has to be exhausting, right? Literally, you tell people to go left, and then you see them go right, and you just like, what the fuck? Like,
the people come to you too. I feel like that's what makes
that. Fun. I feel like that don't matter,
right?
Yeah, that don't matter. They probably still do what they want to do.
And I mean, and honestly, that happens a lot. And what I've learned is that I said what I had to say. I said what I said. I said what I said. I gave it a good go, but you still grown. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times that people come to me with the same thing over and over, I will end, but you grown. And that means, I know you hear me because we've had this conversation before, or I know you hear me because you're following up on something you saw me say on the internet. But ultimately, this is your decision. It's not up to me to force you or try to, you know, but if you come to me with a question, I'm going to give you an answer. And that, and I had to let that go, because I do think a lot of us want to be like, want to fix it and change it. And, you know, but you grown. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you as grown people have to want to do it yourself. Ultimately.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. And my mom used to say that growing up. My mom used to always kind of be like, she'd be like, I gave you the tools. Meanwhile, no, she didn't. But she'd be like, I gave you the tools. You know what I mean? Like, so what you do with them is like what you do with them. But it was just so, that's real shit. Like, we can only, what they say, you can lead a horse to water, but can't, you can't make them drink. So absolutely. Listen, y'all want to be out here fucking wrong. Then
literally
right? Literally fucking wrong. Like, literally, for real.
Right, exactly.
But it sounds like it's like an internal work. I like what you said earlier in that, like, sex education for parents is like super simple, as in like body positivity. Cause I think those things really have an impact on like sexuality as an adult. Like, if you don't like your body, you don't feel comfortable in your skin or comfortable being naked, like, how can you have good sex? Like, you can't.
Exactly. We do not realize the breadth of sex and sexuality and how many parts of it, of your life, it touches. And so that's why I talk about it the way I do, because yeah, it's about like literally, you know, having sex in the bedroom or whatever, but also not. You know, it's also the messages you receive. It's also, you know, how people relate to you. It's also your hair type and your skin tone. I mean, it's just so many things that can affect how you view yourself. Is it the 90s when, you know, Halle Berry was popping and, you know, the Nia Longs and the short haircuts and like, oh, if I don't look like that, or, you know, like, it's just so many different things, right? And so I feel like a lot of times, you know, people just have to learn their own selves. And a lot of it is hard work. A lot of it is facing things that you have suppressed and you do not want to see anymore. But the only way to get liberated or get free is to deal with those things. So a lot of it is, you know, yeah, I want to learn how to have sex better. And a lot of times it's deeper than that. So I tell people, you know, okay, what is it that you want? And a lot of times it don't even have to do with sex itself. It's something else. It's some other thing. It's some self-esteem thing. It's some, you know, psychological thing. It's some relational thing that is manifesting in this way. Yeah.
That's deep. Yeah. Cause I think the best sex and the best love is all rooted in freedom. So I love it. I'm here for it.
Absolutely. That's why I tell people, like, I am pro-ho over here. And I'm like, listen, I have a whole video about hoeing responsibly. Like, you like it, I love it. Are you safe? Is everybody on board? Everybody got consent? Great. Go and be great, child. I do not care. Because the thing is, like you said, I feel like, especially as Black folks, we have to have a focus on joy and pleasure at all times. Literally, we just had an election. Everybody's exhausted and mad and upset. And still, we have to find some joy and pleasure. And when I say pleasure, I'm talking beyond sex too. You know, my definition of pleasure is way expansive. It is the ice cream in my freezer. It's, you know, my favorite little show that I got recorded. And that, you know, I'm gonna just kick my feet up and see what drama is today. You know, that kind of thing. So we have to think about life beyond the narrow boxes that we put it in.
Boom. I like it. I like it. I don't know if I have any more questions. Monica, do you have any more questions or anything else you want to touch on? Oh, I feel like Monica.
Yes. What you call me like that for?
Because I said something to you, like, first and you ain't say nothing.
Oh no, my sound is nah, because my thingy's going in and out, so I ain't hear nothing you say until you said boom and then you said Monica. You know my service be terrible. What'd you say?
I said, you got any more questions or anything else you want to touch on?
I mean, let's talk about first of all, let me just tell y'all, one time I had took a muscle relaxer and I had sex on the muscle relaxer. And I just want to tell y'all, like, that probably was the best sex that I ever had. Like, I don't want people to do it.
Because why did you say it then?
Only you know. Because I just, it was just on my mind where I was just like, you know, because I be thinking about like all my sexual experiences. And I feel like for me, I'm very much the type of person where I have to feel like comfortable. I feel like my best sex is when I feel comfortable with the person. And like, I've had sex with people who I don't feel comfortable with only because shit, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. But it's nothing like being comfortable with somebody, you know, like it's just nothing, but like, that's just a whole new level. And I wish that people would put more respect on that, you know what I mean? Like, on just that whole, I don't know, like just
choosing the right partner to have sex with.
Yeah, and just like, you know, like, I mean, just choosing the right partner who's good for you and like good to you, you know, because it really makes a difference. Like, having sex with somebody who you really care about is just really, it's just good, you know what I mean? But I did just want to tell my story about
having sex with a muscle relaxer. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell that.
I was just saying, I do think to your point, like, comfort is a big, 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 big deal. And I tell people, even if you're casual with somebody, having a partner who is in it for the whole experience and not just for, you know, their own orgasm or whatever is a big deal, because that changes the interaction overall. That changes, yeah. You know, if somebody is making sure like you're good, that they're checking in, that, you mm-hmm. know, that you're comfortable, that you're pleased, all the stuff, that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference.
I'm glad that you said that. I had this debate with a friend last year. She was saying that she feels like if you're not in a relationship or anything like that, you should be able to just, you know, if you have that friends with benefits, whatever situation with somebody, you should just be able to hit them up when you just need that itch scratch and not be concerned about them. And I was like, I don't feel like that's right. I feel like if you're going to choose to engage and have sex with someone, you got to think outside of yourself. Like, you need to go into sex thinking about pleasing the other person, because I feel like that's the only way it's actually going to be good and you'll get yours. And like, it'll be like, because I feel like if that's how you feel, just masturbate. Like, if you just want to get your rocks off, just get your rocks off and leave somebody else out of it. But she feels like I was romanticizing. Yeah. And I was like, I don't think I'm romanticizing. I just feel like sex is a, you know, it's a team sport.
Right. No, I do agree. I do agree with you. I do think that I feel like both can exist in a way. Like, if you got the feeling and you know you can text your, what they call it these days? What do you call it? Sneaky link.
Oh, sneaky link. That's what the kids call it. Yeah. Okay,
that's what the kids call it.
That's what the you. Call
what was
it, right?
It called? What was it called back in the day? Booty call.
Booty call.
Booty call. Booty call. Okay.
Booty call. Right. If you're gonna call up your booty call, like, even if it's some like spontaneous thing or whatever, you can still make that experience a collective, or, you know, a team sport, like you say. Like, it can still involve you both. And I think it just humanizes people when you actually show, like, and I think that's a big part of what we leave out, even if it's casual. Because I'm, like I said, I'm pro do what you do, but like, these are humans.
Yep.
And so you need to make sure that people feel like humans before you meet up and after you meet up. So yeah,
that's big. Yeah, stop calling, I want to say ladies, stop calling these dudes just penises. And same for the, really for the men who be dropping it any and everywhere. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Humanize. There's a person on the other side of that body part. For sure.
There is a person, you know, and the thing is, like, if that person annoys you, then maybe let's find somebody else. If, you know, and I completely get it. There are some people that you may have an amazing sexual chemistry with, but like, the conversation is trash. Or, like, you ain't gonna go outside with them. They can come to the house, but outside is off limits. Like, whatever it is, but like, you also have to be real with yourself. And you know, we can't expect more from people if you're not communicating those wants and needs. So like, we also have to keep it real, even with your sneaky link, even with your, you know, whatever, booty call or whatever, you can still have expectations and still communicate. So you can make all of this stuff work, but we have to just talk to one another. And a lot of times that is what's missing. We're not even talking and, you know, saying, hey, I would like to do this or I like to do that. And yeah, when we leave all that out, then it's gray space. And then people end up mad and all that stuff, but you never talked about it.
Yep. Can't nobody be mad if it wasn't brought up.
Right.
And, you know, I did want to like ask though, like, so with you being like a sexologist, like, and it's the era of social media and everybody on IG is a head doctor, you know, a ride it like a rodeo. I know you seen the girl who was doing the classes, the riding classes. She's out here in Baltimore, I think. She was doing like the ride it classes with the teaching people how to like ride whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of those. I'm not a fan because I'd be like, I want to see you do it on the actual, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see you doing it like that. Like, I want to see you actually doing it and see if you can do it right. So how do you think like that impacts like your, just you, you know what I mean? You being a sexologist and you seeing like all this information that, people do on Instagram and everybody is an expert and all of that. How does that impact you?
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? Because I think if you look at the spectrum of people who are in kind of my field, I guess I'm like more on the nerd side. I don't necessarily have, I have definitely taught classes and stuff like that here and there, especially when I first started out. And I do find that there are values to those classes because I know there's one sister, Goody Howard. That's the first person I ever saw do those classes. So anybody after her is, you know.
Yes, we took that. That's the head class we took, Makita.
Yeah.
We took the head class. Yep.
Yeah. So Goody does Lick. I think it's called Lick or.
Yeah, it's Lick. Yeah.
And then she does like a rideology or ride something classes or whatever too. And so I do think that there is a lot of value to that. One is because there's education in that. So I'm always going to be for those kinds of classes taught by somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. That's my little caveat. Because, you know, people like Goody, I absolutely know she can actually break down the full anatomy of a thing. You know what I mean? And that's my jam. I'm like, bust out the charts. Let me, you know, give me the visuals and the models and stuff like that. I'm here for that. And so I do think there is, you know, value in those classes. Also, it can build camaraderie between people. And I think it also builds community. So I am big into that as well. And it lessens some of the taboo. It, you know, makes it less scary. So I do find value in those classes for me, because I'm more like on the research side or education side and all that stuff. I think it's kind of like a Captain Planet, like your earth, I'm fire, wind, water, heart, all put it together, you know, and if everybody is on the same page, like we out here, you know? And the great thing is that, you know, those of us who are like Black women, sexologists or whatever, we all have our own niche. None of us do exactly the same thing. We all know each other, you know, and we refer out. Like if I don't do a particular thing, I know somebody who does. So for me, it hasn't been bad. I think my only thing would be like personally, I don't have as many followers or something as other people because I don't review sex toys or I don't do certain things like that. And sometimes those things do catch more eyes, but I'm not gonna start reviewing sex toys because that's not what I do. I have one review and that's because somebody asked me on TikTok and I was like, well, here's the one toy I have, I could tell you about it. And you know, that kind of thing. So for me, I find value in those who have actually studied the thing. And I know it's cute to say that you study sex, but if you go beyond what you just do and the fun stuff, it's so layered. A lot of it is not fun, you know? And so I think a misconception is that all we do is talk about, you know, the head and, you know, riding it and all that stuff. And I'm like, we can talk about a whole lot of other stuff too. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the right thing to do, because I think it all starts with your mind. Anyway, all the other stuff is good and it's helpful. Like, I'd like to know the different parts of the penis and vagina and all of that. But yeah, I think it really starts in your mind. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on and talking with us. I'm so glad that you were able to. Thank you. This was a really good conversation. I feel like I got a lot out of it. You got some stuff too, Monica, out of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why you say that? Why did you say it like that? Like a teacher. I did.
Monica.
Right. You've been calling me that all night.
And that's your name. I don't have a nickname for you. I can create one. So if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about that? And like, tell us about your company, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, sure. So my company is Jolly Co. and I focus on sex education for adults. And I've been running it, like I said, about 16 years, started in Atlanta, and I just took it wherever I went. And you can find me at Jolly, which is JAALI_CO on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And on TikTok, I'm Chanel Jolly.
And wait, and did you had candles, you said?
Yes, I do. I'm such a bad saleswoman. yes, I do have a candle collection called the Pleasure Principles. I am like the giant, like the
Janet. I like Jackson. That.
I was about to say, you got to love Janet.
Yeah, I was about to say, I like that.
Janet Jackson's literal number one fan. So Janet, if you are happen to listen.
She better be listening, damn it, Janet.
Right. If you are listening, like, you know, hey, I love you. I have candles. You can find them on my website, which is jollyco.com. And yeah, they've sold out several times. So I finally restocked another time. And yeah, especially now that it's like holiday season, and yes, if you want, and they're not holiday scented. It's really for any time. But yeah, I have 4 different scents and it's been going great.
That's what's up. Yeah, candles are always a good gift. If anybody wants to know what to get me, a candle is always a win.
Candles are always a good win too. I love candles. You can never have too many.
I agree. You should see my little stack over here. I have a little rack and they're just each layer. I'm like, what do I want to smell today?
Exactly.
It's the whole thing.
What vibe. So with that, we're going to go into our segment, what do we need? And so what do we need is all based in the framework of chicken, sex, and degrees. Chicken representing like nourishment, whether it's like actual food or like nourishment for your soul. Sex representing pleasure. As you said, you seek and find pleasure in a variety of things. And degrees representing like motivation and a sense of achievement. So I'll start with you, Chanel Jolly. What do you need in the framework of chicken, sex, and degrees?
What do I need personally?
Mm-hmm. Of those three.
Oh my goodness. Probably the chicken part. And for me, I think it's rest. The nourishment is rest. And that's something I also try to promote and also learn at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of people know how that is. Like you ripping and running. And you just don't give yourself time to rest, and either you rest or your body will sit you down. So it's either or.
And
so yeah,
making the choice is always best, and not your body.
I would rather make that choice myself. So yeah, I would say probably the chicken part. I need to just rest, calm my brain down.
Amen. I pray that for you, Monica. What you need?
I think I need some sex this weekend. I need some type of pleasure. First of all, I'm the birthday bitch, so you know what I mean. I feel like I deserve to have all of it this time, all three. But I think I need some type of, like, I don't know. I need some, like, pleasure. I want to have some fun. I feel like I've been overwhelmed these last couple weeks, so I want to just have some fun, some pleasure, some, you know, something.
Something.
What you need?
What do I need? I think I need chicken, but like real chicken food. I'm hungry, y'all. I'm always hungry right now. So yeah, I'm gonna be real literal and basic.
No, Makita, can you tell the story of the DoorDash and you crying?
Fine.
Cause Makita, it's not funny because Makita's pregnant, so I get it, but it was funny when she told me.
All right, so boom.
It's not funny.
I ordered some food from Uber Eats. I had my mouth tuned up. I ordered some lamb chops, some yellow rice, some yams, some broccoli. And then I ordered my boyfriend some food that he wanted to, right? It was coming. They had to take their time and cook it because that was a real meal. I think I might get it tonight now that I'm talking about it. So they said like the Uber person was on a bicycle. So I was like, okay, fine. The restaurant's not that far, so he could be on a bicycle, whatever. But then he was like in my area for a while and it wasn't like delivered. So I was like, what's going on? Then I finally said it was delivered. I opened the door, wasn't no food there. So I was like, what's going on? I like opened the door a couple times, like, did I miss it? It wasn't there. So then I did like call your driver and it's like a third party, like, connected, but it's every time it like went, it would be like the subscriber you're trying to reach is not valid. So I was like, oh, this fool, phone turned off. And so I'm like, he just stole my food. So I call, I finally get in touch with Uber. I'm talking to them on the app. They're not helpful. So I call the line. I'm like, look, my food is not here. I know it says it was delivered, but it ain't here. The phone is not working. The girl gonna say some. Well, it's showing that it's delivered, so there's nothing we can do for you. No, there's something that you can do for me. You can give me my money back. Right. Well, per our policy update, we can't do refunds. The best I could do is give you a $35 Uber Eats credit. I paid $80 for that food. You lying. So now I'm getting upset and I'm crying because I'm hungry and they're not trying to give me my money back. And I'm just like, this is not right. Like, y'all can't do this to me. I'm like really crying. And my boyfriend's just looking at me like, okay, well, I can go get you some food. What do you want to eat? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what I want. Cause I wanted the lamb chops. Now I don't know. Now I just want a smoothie and I'm gonna go to bed cause I'm upset. So I know for a fact that
it was only funny because her boyfriend legit was like, she was crying.
That was sad.
This was so funny.
That was a very sad event.
He was like, I just walked out the room and she had her head down and was just crying at the computer. He's like, I was like, what's wrong? it was so funny. He was like, she was just bawling. I was like, she wanted that food. God damn it. They played with the wrong pregnant person.
But I know how
they tried it.
You have your mouth fixed for something and you don't get it. Oh, that's the worst.
That hurts your soul. And then you're trying to tell me I can't get my money back. No. And then I had to curse out the Uber Eats lady because she's going to tell me next time this is what you need to do. Ma'am, what don't you understand about this fool stole my food? Like, what is it? Like, I did all the right things. He stole the shit. Like, stop playing with me.
Right.
Stop playing with me.
Ooh. Oh man.
Why you make me read that?
Mad all over it, yeah, right?
I ended up getting my money back, so it's fine. It's cool. But I'm just like, okay. Caleb, I know his name was Caleb. Caleb, if I ever see you on the street, it's your ass.
On site.
Your ass. It's your ass. It's on motherfucking site. Swear to God.
And if you got a damn bike, I'm messing up them tires too.
Listen, we kicking that bitch over. Kicking that shit off the stand. You going down.
All the smoke.
You and your bicycle.
You and your bike.
That's funny as hell though.
Anyway. All right. Oh, all right. So with that being said, we're at the last bite. Chanel Jelly, our guest, get the last bite. So The last bite is whatever you want it to be. It can be related to anything we talked about, or it can be related to nothing that we talked about. Totally up to you.
Wow. So yeah, I think I will just lean in on this notion of finding some joy and pleasure as much as you can, even if it's the smallest of things, even if it's, you know, oh, you know what? I had a smoothie that I really liked the other day. Let me go get that. Like, find the pleasure in your everyday life. You know, also tell your people you love them. You know, tell your people you love them. Tell them that you are glad that they exist. It's hard out here. People are tired. Like, just, you know, we got to love up on each other way more than we do. All this internet fighting I see every day is exhausting. So, yeah, I think I will just end with that. Love you, people, and find some joy and pleasure.
Amen. That's the word. I receive it. And one last time, leave us your Instagram handle so people can check you out.
Absolutely. Jaliko, which is JAALI_CO on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Chanel Jali on TikTok.
Cool. See, you got some consistency. Meanwhile, we are Twitter and Instagram is different. So y'all, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, you know, you can find us at Chicken Sex Degrees. No I, no E in chicken. And on Instagram, we're at Chicken Sex Degrees. Rate, review, subscribe on whatever podcast app you listen to. And check out our website, www.chickensexdegrees.com. Get some merch. Tap in with us. That's all we got for today. I'm Makita.
I'm Monica.
Bye.
Bye, 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 guys.